Caster, welcome to the show.
Hey, let's talk about stuff.
Let's talk about a lot of stuff. Let's get right to some of the things you've been discussing on your show. Psychedelic therapy history is part of a title to an episode of a podcast I couldn't recommend more to people. But can you describe what psychedelic therapy is and why you went through a history of it on your science show?
Sure. We went through it because everyone in America especially has an association with psychedelics. You know, the hippies in the 60s did LSD and, you know, they dropped acid and they did mushrooms and these things are all bad and, you know, they're deplorable and all these things. And it turns out that's not really a great way to look at things because it turns out in the 1950s, there were thousands of patients, thousands of research papers released talking about the benefits and potential medical breakthrough things that LSD and psilocybin and other kinds of therapies could do. Mm-hmm. They have enormous medical potential, but of course they were shut down when the counterculture movement kind of made things bad. But
okay. The
reason it's cool and we talked about it is because right now Johns Hopkins University has a psychedelics research center. There are many other research institutions, like serious academic, like high profile research institutions doing psychedelic research. And when implemented with therapy, you know, no one's going to prescribe you, you know, go home, take some acid and you'll be fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But
good. Okay, good.
Yeah, there's therapy in conjunction because mm-hmm. these things do things to your brain. Sometimes it makes people able to open themselves up more. They can recall memories. It breaks down walls. And when administered during a therapy session, it can have huge impacts like curing alcohol or smoking addiction, lots of other cool benefits. So remember, not all drugs are created equal, and they're not necessarily bad. They can be used for good sometimes.
That is a very hot take. I feel like the hottest take I've ever heard from a Cody Goff. I will. Also, I recommend anybody check out another podcast. I don't mean to do this to you, but Reply All did a great episode years ago where one of the two hosts micro-tripped, which is where you took a very, 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 very small amount of LSD, and apparently it had some sort of benefit. But it was interesting for me to just hear somebody talking about being on drugs while on a podcast because, you know, I don't feel like my employer will ever get there. I don't think we'll ever have that conversation here. Not that I want to, by the way. I don't want to sound like a guy that wants to dive into that world. What is the birthday effect? Can you describe this to me?
Yeah, the birthday effect is a really weird statistic that suggests that some people are more likely to basically pass away during their birthdays.
Wow.
It's just a very strange thing. So basically, speaking of other podcasts, we are allowed to say, I'm allowed to say that on my podcast, we talked to Dr. Bapu Jena is the host of Freakonomics MD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure many people are aware of Freakonomics and that, right? This is the medical version of it, basically.
Wow.
The birthday bias, part of it is actually because the researchers found an increase in diagnosis of COVID-19 after people's birthdays. And they figured out there's a correlation. And they said, well, it's because people are having birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this research is not meant to say don't have a birthday party or don't spend time with friends.
Yes.
But what the takeaway was is it was like, you know, some people think, okay, I've got like, you know, a handful of really trusted friends. I'm sure they're all safe. I'm sure none of them have been exposed. Let's have a, you know, small to get together. I can trust my friends, right?
Sure.
Well, maybe, but, you know, it's a very, you know, it's a virus that we've all,
I gotcha.
You know, shut down the world for 2 years. So it's never a sure thing. So just be aware of that before you get into situations like birthday parties and know the risk before you do that kind of thing.
Fair enough. Another episode, you covered two things that I care about equally, and this might sound odd. One of them is how to argue effectively with a partner. But the other one, the one I want to get to first, is the world's loneliest whale. I don't know why I care about both these things. And to quote your podcast, this loneliest whale is actually more loved than they'll ever know. Can you tell us that story first and then tell me how to argue with the missus?
Sure, of course. Yeah, so there's a blue whale nicknamed 52 Blue. Researchers have used, there were like underground, underwater, like kind of detection systems, sound detection systems that different countries put into place to detect submarines during, you know, past wars, basically.
Sure.
And data from that found this whale call, but it was at 52 hertz, which is much higher than other whales. So it probably sounds like a foreign language to them. But scientists, you know, they've never seen this whale, not sure the species or the gender or anything. But either way, they're not sure this whale has anyone to communicate with. So it may be the world's loneliest whale, which is very sad. But it inspires people because, you know, if you ever think you're lonely, yeah. Imagine being a whale singing at 52 hertz.
That feels like a Disney movie. At some point, I hope that it happens. And then eventually the whale is told of all the people who care so much about the whale. That's how Disney would end it. Tell me how to argue with the wife.
Okay, if you want to have a productive argument with your partner,
yeah.
Research says basically treat the agreement like something you can solve together. You got to remember you're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
This is called argument interdependence, and it's healthier than arguments where you're blaming the person.
All right.
Remember, if you both want to be happy. If right. Your kid is acting up, you both want your kid to not act up. Even if one of you thinks that the way is by letting him play video games all night and the other thinks that you need to ground him,
uh-huh.
That's, you know, even if it's totally different approaches,
yeah.
You need to look at your partner as a collaborator towards a common goal, not an obstacle, and you'll both be much happier.
Yeah, we need to collaborate toward the common goal of understanding that I'm really smart and usually right. That's the common goal. Is that accurate? My wife is also really smart and throws shoes. Which are very intimidating. I'm going to mm-hmm. take a break. She's an expert. You should study Betty's shoe-throwing ability. I'm not joking. Throwing a chancla with the precision and the accuracy that the family that she's from, because her mom is an expert at it. The sisters are great at it. I feel like they're Hawkeye from the Avengers as like a full collection of people, but only with a shoe. And so I don't understand what that is. It's a real thing. You got to dive into it. I'm sending it in. I'm going to write it in every day now as a listener suggestion to Curiosity Daily until it ends up on the podcast. And then I hope that you just talk to Betty. And she's like, well, Craig deserves to be hit by shoes. And that's the whole answer you get. And maybe it's God that's helping her smack me in the face. Anyway, let's take a break. A lot more in just a bit. Cody will preview some of the stuff coming up on the show after this. 1470. 100.3 WMBD. A few topics that we're going to go ahead and preview coming up soon on the show. The first one, a very valuable one. I assume it's coming up as early as tomorrow, Cody, but it's how to avoid a fight at a Thanksgiving or a family meal. Go ahead.
It is. Here's how to keep the peace this Thanksgiving. You can hear the full list of tips on Wednesday, I think, is this episode. But the first thing is alcohol is not required. I know we all like a drink at Thanksgiving uh-huh. time, but no one's going to be mad if you serve delicious apple cider. And if alcohol has caused issues in the past, just buy just enough for everyone to have two or three glasses of wine at the most and hide the rest, basically. One other thing, if you're younger especially, please hide your phone. Put it away. You don't need the phone at the dinner table.
Aww.
That can cause lots of problems. I know.
Look at
that. You want to check your texts, but you can wait 10 minutes.
You can.
And one other thing, don't remember that, you know, the holidays are, for some people, the only break they get a lot of the year. It shouldn't be stressful. You are not going to, quote unquote, fix what's wrong with your parents or sibling or son or daughter at the dinner table. The Thanksgiving, you will not sit down at Thanksgiving dinner and walk away having convinced someone in your family to get a vaccine or not get a vaccine
uh-huh.
or to do a certain thing with their life or to propose. It's not going to happen at the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Wow.
You're there to eat. So save the serious conversations for another time of year.
That's so weird. I can't count the amount of times that a friend told me, you know, I believed this thing, and then I went to my family's Thanksgiving, and now I'm engaged. I can't tell you the amount of times that's come up. The best gifts have some assembly required. I feel like I don't want to hear the reason why for this one, but tell me why having to build something makes it a better gift.
Oh, you're going to love this.
All
this
right.
is actually known as the IKEA effect. It's an actual scientific term. People value an item more if they put it together.
Mm-hmm.
That explains why you might like your jack-o'-lantern more if you picked your own pumpkin at the pumpkin patch.
Gotcha.
Or why you might be more attached to a Christmas tree if you cut it down yourself.
Yeah.
And I mean, Legos, come on.
See, I feel like the IKEA effect for me is like, how dishonest am I in a relationship? Like, how many missing pieces do I tell Betty that her drawer has? How many screws did I leave off to the side? Do I describe all of them or do I wait to see if it falls apart? I feel like that's the litmus test for me, but that might just be me. I'm assuming I'm alone there. One last one, how to avoid the Thanksgiving food coma if you want to. I want to say that there's aspects of the food coma that are lovely on Thanksgiving, but Cody can help if you don't want to immediately fall asleep after all the tryptophan.
Yeah, this is also going to come out on a show before Thanksgiving. And you know, if you want the food coma, go for it. But
oh,
if
it's
you
so
want
lovely.
To,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
We'll get in all the science on the on my podcast about, you know, how your pancreas releases things and the chemicals move around. But you want to eat a balanced meal, basically. Avoid too much starch or fat and try to eat some veggies and protein. And don't eat too fast. You know, if it's too carb heavy, that's really going to mess with your glucose levels and insulin spikes. And that's just going to make it crash. So more protein, the better. Actually, a huge great tip. Take a 15-minute walk about 15 minutes after your meal. That'll help you digest, and it'll actually kind of help you regulate your system.
I don't know what kind of Thanksgiving you do, but I'm now very upset by it. 15 minutes after my Thanksgiving meal, you want me to go on a 15-minute walk? That's okay. I've never had a problem with the scientific advice Cody Goff has provided on the show. That's officially, no, this is officially the splitting point for us both. I'm not walking 15 minutes after Thanksgiving. The only thing I do 15 minutes after the dinner is maybe have more food if I've somehow, because you do that. You move the arms up in the air, you adjust where the food is in the stomach, and then you dive in for round two. I don't know that that's scientifically proven.
I'm not doing it either, but okay. I talked to someone and they do this. It's like a family tradition. No. This is a thing someone does.
I would leave that Thanksgiving dinner. I would not be a part of it. That would be, oh man, I can't believe that made me so upset. This is a genuine reaction. Sometimes I think I overamp the amount of confusion I have to the advice you give. This is real. If I were 15 minutes into relaxing after the dinner and someone's like, let's all do a group walk. We need to get the exercise in. I would start throwing shoes, not my wife. That's Cody Goff. He is the co-host of Curiosity Daily. I got to check on myself now as to why this made me so upset. You can hear it Monday through Friday. All the podcast platforms, award-winning, tremendously valuable platform. Thank you so much for joining us, as always, Cody, and talking about some ridiculous, ridiculous advice for what to do after Thanksgiving dinner.
Anytime. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Cooper Banks is the news. 1470, 100.3 WMBD.
No pursuit that led up to this incident. This is not a terrorist event.
That's interesting, by the way. 1470, 100.3 WMBD. It's the Craig Collins Show. That's what I should do. Play a quick piece of audio and then say that's interesting. But it is. This is the most recent press conference, I think a couple hours ago, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, after the horrific Christmas parade tragedy, massacre, whatever you want to call it, I guess, the taking of life senselessly. Darnell Brooks is the name of the person, the suspect, that they have in custody, the suspect that they're questioning. There was a narrative, and one that I saw before I jumped on the air a couple hours ago today, that the person driving that car was fleeing some sort of police pursuit. That has obviously been debunked based on the most recent press conference. Also, the statement that it's not a terrorist attack is, I guess, a little bit more nuanced because it's certainly not an attack by someone who hates America per se, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know the right way to articulate that. Because after this audio went viral, just that little snippet, some people are saying, are you sure about that? Are you sure that this isn't motivated by something? Something that I think people would describe as terrorism. The only things I guess we certainly know is the person driving the car, whether or not that is the person of interest that they think it is or not. I guess I have to say that they're not officially saying who did this yet or trying anyone. There's no trial. None of that has occurred, of course. We're at the beginning stages of all this. But they purposefully drove past a police barricade and drove into people, including a group of parade goers that were called the Dancing Grannies that were, as they sound like, grandmothers that danced to celebrate Christmas. At least two people have died so far. Five people, I believe, have died so far. And several people are in critical condition in the hospital, including two children. That is what the latest press briefing provided for us. And honestly, there's an aspect of this, and I've said it before, and I definitely want information as soon as it's possibly available on any of what happened and why it happened in Wisconsin. And of course, a lot of people, as I said early on in the show, can connect or assume that there's a connection between the Rittenhouse decision and something as horrific as this, both happening in the same state. More to be seen on whether or not that's accurate. I guess no motive at all has been shared. But when you see all this, when you realize how horrific every aspect of this is, the only thing you wonder in your brain is why. And so you want that information as soon as we can get it, when in reality what we need is to give the police officers, to give the law enforcement officials, and then I guess to give the legal system the time to present to us all of the facts. But case in point, someone wanted to kill people. And someone wanted to kill people at a Christmas parade and do so with a car. And it's just, it's horrible. There's no aspect to this that is in any way, shape, or form spinnable. And I'm not going to try to spin it. And I don't want to have a positive outlook outside of there are some heroes that are now winding up on news. I think Fox News interviewed a father that pushed his family out of the way of the car, which is incredibly heroic and valuable. But I do wonder, and I'll continue to wonder until we know more details, if part of our societal argument, if that's what you want to call it, our disagreement in the world of even just describing rioting and looting compared to peaceful protesting, if all of those things come together in these ways that allow for people to believe that what they're doing is you know, somehow okay, when in reality it's certainly not. And what I mean by that is someone who is fed up with things that are going on in our society, and they feel as though because of that, they're allowed to take lives. And I believe that that's why it's so important for us to have a uniform message when we talk about the destruction, the damage, the lives that got lost. Any of the times that people organize together and do it in the name of something that's a very important American right, peaceful protesting, and turn it into something else. People did die when we had all the rioting, the looting. Police officers were shot and killed. People lost their lives. Homeowners, business owners. These things occurred. And if you don't talk about it the correct way, because you're some sort of media outlet or some sort of politician who feels as though there's a narrative in there that you don't want to touch on because part of that narrative is important to you to gain voters, to gain whatever it is that you're going to gain, that it's horrible. There's no other argument for that, in my opinion. And so we will wait for more details to emerge. But the police have confirmed that the person who caused this horrible tragedy was not fleeing from any sort of pursuit. And in their opinion, was not a terrorist. What they are and who they are, I guess, still a question we're waiting to have answered. And I will say that the individual who's been a person of interest identified by police, that person's name is Daryl Brooks, excuse me, and that Daryl Brooks is a person who was wanted on other things. I guess there was a domestic battery situation. But again, not anything that the person driving the car was running from. So, I don't have any other words for this. I'm afraid at times for the evolution in our society. I know that sounds like I'm being a coward. It does. There's no other way to articulate that. But it's worrisome that we are so willing to defend anyone that's on our side of a political or some other conversation, and so willing to ignore narratives or ignore certain things. I mean, the Rittenhouse case is still all over the news, and you got the lawyer out there saying that there's still all these persistent and different narratives that were proven to be inaccurate in court that are taking hold as far as the way people and even some politicians are discussing that lawsuit. I move on. Other things in the news. This is a viral video out there of the president of the United States, Joe Biden, talking about how inflation's not a thing, even though inflation is a really horrible thing that might get even worse if the Build Back Better plan that has been passed in the House gets passed in the Senate and $2 trillion more dollars get spent by our government. But here's Biden, months and months of saying inflation's not a big concern.
Talking inflation, the overwhelming consensus is going to pop up a little bit and then go back down. No one's talking about this great, great deal.
And the data shows that most of the price increases we've seen were expected
and are expected to be temporary.
But I think over the medium term, we'll see inflation decline back toward normal levels.
It's highly unlikely that's going to be long-term inflation that's going to get out of hand.
If you take out those three categories, we've actually seen price increases that are more in line with historical norms.
The faster than expected increase in some of those prices is actually a good sign.
This is something that will settle down.
Transitory.
Transitory.
Yeah, let's just shape it. Let's shape it any way we can. Let's talk about how it's not so bad. And our president now is also saying this odd patting himself on the back brag about how wages are up, when wages actually have been fluctuating a little bit more than even inflation, which is just going, of course, one direction. And I guess you could make the argument that wages are actually down more recently. But year over year, they're certainly up. But if the price of everything goes up more than the amount of money you're making, guess what? In reality, you're doing worse.
Now, after years of wages being flat or falling behind, we're also seeing something else. Things are getting better for American workers. Higher wages.
That's what he keeps saying. He said that again today. And again, if I make $15 now instead of 10 or 12 or whatever it was, and then I have to pay much more than that for any of my household goods, if my inflation percentage is up 5, 6, 7%, my wages are only up 2, 3, 4%, whatever the amount difference is, it winds up being a net loss, which is what they're seeing and what they're studying, and the reason why some of these ways in which you solve, I guess, certain problems, you don't do it by just mass spending. That usually winds up being a mistake. One other quick thing in the news, and then we'll take a break. Dalton Kemper hanging out, producer of this program as well. There is a person that was vandalizing a car, and they actually wound up destroying the wrong vehicle, which I feel like is always the problem. When you're deciding that what you want to do is just ruin somebody's car for all kinds of reasons, you got to make sure you're getting the right owner. I'm certainly not in any way, shape, or form saying that this is okay, but I can't imagine what it's like to be the person who owns the vehicle to be like, wait, why did you do this? I'm not even that person.
I screamed. I'm surprised nobody in the neighborhood heard me because I screamed so, so loud because I didn't expect that this would happen. It's a case of mistaken identity.
Mistaken identity ruined my vehicle. I got to feel like you give somebody money for that situation. If you realize, too, that the crime you just committed was against the wrong person, then I'm sure there will be a lawsuit.
I was going to say, they will be giving money in a lawsuit.
Right.
So.
I assume.
No issue.
But I assume you might also just be like, nah, look, man, I was trying to screw up somebody else's vehicle because I'm not a good person. And so here's some money, and I apologize. Now, one other quick thing, and I don't know if this thing is going to be entertaining or gross to people, but I'm just going to try to throw it out there and then get past it. Do you know what Black Friday is called in the profession of plumbing, for plumbers? Do you know what their nickname for Black Friday is?
No.
You don't want to guess?
No.
I feel like you want to guess. I feel like you do, but you don't want to.
I'm thinking
Thanksgiving,
a
lot of traffic, a lot of things going on, maybe the bathroom utilized uniquely. Brown Friday.
Ooh.
I know. That feels real gross. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Well, I didn't know about that. I certainly don't think anybody will be celebrating that. Maybe that's why Target's going to be closed all day on Thanksgiving, is that they don't want to celebrate their own Brown Friday. All right, quick break, a lot more. 1470, 100.3 WMBD. What's your opinion of the New York Times?
I know that they're a national news source. I don't ever really read the New York Times, to be honest with you.
I always thought that the New York Times was one of the best possible publications in the world of journalism in our country.
I agree.
I've thought that for a while. However, there are times where I start to wonder if a lot of the standards at the New York Times have changed. And this is probably one of the best ones yet. And I know these sort of things go viral every so often because our last president, certainly a critic of the New York Times, but a article actually appeared in that publication that told kids who are not vaccinated to eat quickly on Thanksgiving to, I don't know, somehow prevent any amount of transmission or interaction between those that are vaxxed and those who are not. So real advice out there from the New York Times, eat faster, kids.
Can I break something to the New York Times?
Sure.
I guarantee you they wrote that to be like, oh, eat and then get your mask back on.
Right. I know they did. Yeah.
People can do that if they want, but I can guarantee you most families across America will not have masks on at their Thanksgiving celebrations.
You're crazy. How could you say that?
New
York Times and the things that they're saying. I also think, and I've thought this for a while, when we talk about kids and masks, there's a good chance that the kids take the masks off when the parents aren't around, no matter what is occurring, no matter what you're told to do. So
but
even
you
if you
better get that turkey down fast.
Even if you follow the advice to a T of the New York Times, there's a chance that you've done nothing valuable. And I guess a lot of people would argue from jump that that might be true. Earth will see a lot of space junk in the future, apparently. This is according to a new bit of research at the University of Utah. So much space junk, in fact, that there is a belief that Earth will have a Saturn-like ring around it made entirely of trash. Do we celebrate?
Where's the trash coming from?
I think it's all the stuff we're launching up in there.
Sweet.
That's then going bad. It's the you know, all the different satellites and things that break over time, and then they just orbit us.
Okay.
Uh huh.
I like how they probably spent a lot of money on this study.
Yeah.
And they call it space junk.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That'll be fine. I don't know what we do about it. One of the things that the article actually said, the research said, is that eventually you figure out a big giant machine with a robotic arm, this is real, that just pushes the debris away from us. And I guess you got to push far enough for it to get out of our orbit, and then it just floats somewhere else.
So we are going to be living in a simulation at some point. Where once every little while, someone pushes a button and a big robot arm shoves trash away from Earth.
Well, see, we celebrate the blood moon and all the eclipse things that happen. I can't wait for a report of, and the robot arm is out there pushing the stuff into outer space.
You might get a partial eclipse, not from the moon, but the robot arm is going to slightly block the sun for a moment.
You will see the shadow of the arm if you get up between these hours, and it'll be wonderful. I don't know what's true or not true in the world of that study. I just thought it was interesting that we decided to study that, and that eventually, and I think this is actually a joke episode of a TV show I saw where
it was probably The Simpsons, right?
it had to be The Simpsons. That's the only one it could have been. No, it was actually called Orville. It's a TV show that I watched that I feel odd admitting now. You know what that show is? The Fox show? Okay, it's fine. Let's move on, because someone out there is going to be a fan, and then you and I are nerd friends now, officially. Please follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/Greg Collins Show. It's on Fox. I don't think it's that obscure, but I don't think a lot of people. Anyway, moving on. I'm a parenting expert is the headline to this article in the New York Post. Do not be too strict on daughters if you have them, because you're going to get a lot of negative results from being overly strict on daughters instead of sons. It's interesting. This went viral. It's TikTok as well. The expert was there offering this expert advice, I guess is what I'm calling it. First, I know that I do this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't get around the idea that if I had a daughter instead of a son as a guy who distrusts my own side of the aisle, that would be other men. That I'm sure I would be, and I guess what the study is saying is that that's going to cause more of the behavior you're trying to protect against.
Right, and most dads are suckers for their daughters.
Right.
Like, I have a sister. She had it easy, Craig. I'm telling you. Just a breeze through the first 18 years.
All right.
Nothing compared to what I had.
And now?
And now still a breeze.
Okay, no. All right.
We're both moved out now, so we don't really have the parental guidance. But hey, I'm telling you, I still hold it against
her. Was your dad ever the kind of guy that like did the intimidating first meeting of the boyfriend?
Not really. Okay. Just like slight jokes.
Okay. Just like,
like
if you hurt
jokes,
her,
like,
I'm coming for
you. Hey, I'm a little warning. But I didn't laugh about it. I don't know if it was really a joke or not.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend probably didn't think it was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I didn't date anybody. Like, did you ever have anybody you knew that had like a really intimidating father? I never. Nobody in my wife's dad is lovely. He's very fun. You know, always just wants to drink tequila with me every time I see him.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
No, I don't really know anyone that has that dated a girl that had that type of dad.
Yeah, I'm even thinking back to some of the like girlfriends, my first girlfriend in high school, and that dad like just fixed my car.
They always tell you about the dads that sit out on the porch with their shotguns and wait on you.
Yeah.
I never encountered one, though.
I would be one of those guys that would clean a gun.
That's fair.
Just okay, good talk we had. Cooper's got the news, 1470, 100.3 WMBD. I just needed to clean the gun now, hon.